Hello, Blenders, and welcome to another live edition of Real Blend, a podcast that is far from home.
Oh. Yeah. We're going to let Sean repeat that audio cue.
On,
go ahead.
Hold on.
No, we're going to give
you a
second.
A podcast that is far from home.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Sound effects.
Do it again. Maybe it'll be funny this
time. Hold on.
Yeah, I can go one more time.
Okay. Hello, Blenders. And welcome to episode number 73 of Real Blend.
Sean, are we far from home?
A podcast that is far from home.
Oh, wow. Why are there three homes?
I can't wait. Oh, wait. You put it away?
Yeah. Put it away. That was done. I'm all done.
Bring that out at some point.
To say.
My name is...
That was amazing.
My name is Sean O'Connell. I am the managing director here at Cinema Blend, and I am joined, as always, by my illustrious co-hosts, starting with Kevin McCarthy of Fox 5 in Washington, D.C., BDK.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, how are you?
I'm here. I'm very excited to be here. We're all in London together. We're in my hotel room, all combined up to a nice little table together. It's probably like a table meant for one person, essentially, and we're all like crowded around it.
Small table for one person.
Yeah, so Jake and I and Sean are all here, but Sean, it's good to see you. It's been a very special day for all of us,
and
we can't wait to tell you why.
We will get into all of that, but before that, of course, we have to introduce Jake Hamilton.
Me!
Of Fox 32 in Chicago. Jake, how are you?
Guys, is London our meeting place? Is that where we always are going to be?
Have we done three here?
We've done three episodes here.
And I feel we were just talking about the number of junkets that we've done here this year. You were just here for yesterday.
I was here for yesterday. I did
Dark
Aftermath,
Phoenix,
Dark Phoenix and Rocket Man.
So we recorded Bohemian Rhapsody here.
Yes.
We recorded Rocket Man here.
Yes.
And this is our third one recording together.
Well, we did Toronto as well.
Right, but I'm talking about
here in London.
Yeah.
A weird amount of junkets in London. And we've turned a lot down. We turned down Men in Black. Turned down
is interesting. Like people always think it's fascinating when we talk about the behind the scenes of junkets. And when we say turned down, it's either a conflict or, but like, you know, some of the times these studios, they'll be junketing the same time as another film while we're already covering another film, or someone will be on vacation, or somebody has something to do with their family. You know, we don't turn
Sometimes you just can't be gone that long.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like we have
actual jobs.
We know we're lucky. We're very lucky to get to do what we do, and there's always something interesting about saying no to one of these because it's, you know, it just doesn't play into your schedule and or you're doing something. I always have that kind of secondary mind moment.
Well, Men in Black was interesting too because essentially we're turning down an actor who 2 months before we were clamoring to get. We were trying so hard to get Chris Hemsworth for Avengers Endgame.
Right.
And then 2 months later, we're offered him and we go, no, we can't do it.
And we can't do it, yeah.
It's just the way this job works.
But we're all here for Spider-Man Far From Home. Sean will introduce that, but we've all seen it and you are going to hear some of the first reactions on the planet on this podcast.
We also have some really terrific stories to tell about just the interviews in general that we've been doing here. Yes, and the movie too. Also, this episode, we're going to dive into the five best movies we've seen so far in 2019. And that has been... Okay, so Jake is saying that it's been a challenge to come up with that, but I just sat down and banged mine out like immediately. I had five.
It was easy for me.
Now, but I'm not going to say that they're going to be on my, you know, top 10 by the end of the year. This has been a weaker first half to a year.
I would imagine, though, that my top five is drastically going to change come July 26th.
Are there movies in your top five that will be... Well, I know for you for sure. And yeah, I guess...
No
you,
question.
You too,
and here's the thing. I'm not saying I'm going to automatically love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I have not ever disliked a Quentin Tarantino film.
Into his movie thinking, if that's not my favorite movie I've seen so far this year, I will be disappointed.
Well, it's one of those things, but Tarantino has
set
that
bar. That's how
I
always go into his movies.
You have to set yourself up for
it. I can't help it. He's done it for me.
Yeah, in regards to what Jake's saying, I go into Quentin Tarantino's movies expecting 10s, and he'll deliver 15s. Like, I remember sitting down for Inglourious Basterds, waiting for this to be amazing, and it blew my mind. All right, so we got to move on. So, Sean, go ahead.
We will move on, yes, obviously. Okay, so we'll get to more stories from London, but obviously we got to start this week's episode with reviews. And I'm going with three this week. I'm thrown off. Because one of them is from the UK, which I find really fit. So I guess the longer we spend here,
I guess
we pick up UK listeners. And, Gabe, what happened? That got emailed to us? Because I know I was checking the iTunes, and we are now up to...
Did Gabe take time out of his busy freaking schedule to to bless us with his presence on Real Blend?
At some point in today's show, we need to get to the point that Gabe thinks he's a bigger deal than Kevin Feige, but we'll get to that. Go ahead.
Maybe he's holding the Feige interview for Hero
Blend. For Hero Blend!
Oh, yeah.
I bet you that's what's going
Saboteurs!
On.
Saboteurs!
Little behind-the-scenes show discussion here. We were discussing possible interviews we have coming up on Real Blend,
yes.
And Sean sat down with Feige today, which we'll get to later in the podcast,
yes.
And Gabe was just very much against using it on our show. Now that I'm thinking about it,
yeah.
Jake's right.
Yeah.
You want a
tour.
You were going to give that to Mr. Eric Eisenberg, weren't you? Even though Sean did the interview.
You've changed.
Wow.
You've changed
a lot.
It's amazing true. You can speak so little but break my heart so much.
Yeah. Now he waits like 3 or 4 hours to text back. It's I can't even get a hold of
him. He doesn't even ask us for our blend picks.
No. I didn't get a question this week.
Neither did I.
Oh, this week's blend game is Killian Murphy blend.
And interestingly enough,
wait, is it Killian or Cillian?
Killian.
Is it?
Killian Murphy,
Killian.
Yeah.
I'm a professional film critic. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I hope you have a pick.
You have a pick? So, I do.
Okay, good.
And Gabe has a... Gabe's pick's going to be coming from Eric Eisenberg.
To be fair, I was told I could not pick Peaky Blinders and...
As a TV show.
I think that's fair. Also, Gabe's wearing a shirt that says, I love Hero Blend. Like, isn't that really awkward?
Yeah.
It's just awkward to wear to our show.
Well, no.
And what's weird is that that's all he's wearing.
It says, I love Hero Blend, but then Real is... crossed out.
Yeah,
see
I said
that?
Real.
See yeah, yeah. It's like, and then like Real's written like Red Rum in the what do you call it? Dr. Sleep trailer. We got to talk about that at some point.
All right, three reviews this week. The first one is from someone named Titan46. The subject says, "What my podcast library has been missing," which I think is really nice. He says, "I will never listen to another Collider podcast." Now here's where I'm going to press pause again and say that last week. Someone threw Screen Rant under the bus, and we defended I like the Screen Rant guys. And I like a few people at Collider. Some people are nice there, so I'll say that. But this guy is saying he's never going to listen to another Collider podcast. These guys are great, and they have access to things that most other podcasts only speculate about. I agree. Okay, so the review's done. Thank you so much, Titan46, for that. Welcome to the Blender family.
Yeah.
We love having you here.
And we're never going to be a podcast who throws any other podcast under the bus.
But at least not publicly.
Yeah, we appreciate the comparison. And we want everyone in this business to do well. Yeah. But what you said about us at the end, I think Sean will agree.
That's what I want to elaborate on.
We're in a very interesting position, all three of us, that we're all here for three different outlets, three different sections of the country, of United States, and covering a film for different audiences. Yeah. And we all have our own experiences.
We also cover them in different ways.
It's very different
so
ways. Yeah.
This next one comes from someone named Eyeless34. And the subject line is a reference that I should get. I think a social network. It says, is it great or is it good? Is that a social network quote?
I don't know.
I actually don't know.
Maybe that person's genuinely asking.
But they might be. It just seems like such a deliberate way to word that it makes me think that it's a quote from something. I love movies, spend about 20% of my time, money, watching or reading about movies, and these guys are just a bunch of dudes who do the same thing. Love their analysis of movies, bring up good counter arguments, and the interviews are top tier. Well, we would have Kevin Feige if Gabe would let us run it on our show.
Maybe he doesn't think it's top tier.
That's about as top tier as it gets.
Do you guys remember that time when Gabe said that I'll listen to it and I'll let you know?
We're not joking. He actually said that.
Hey, here's the thing. We are very... here's the thing.
I'll let you know if your Kevin Feige interview is good enough for the podcast I abandoned.
So here's the thing. We are very sarcastic on this show sometimes. I legitimately joke about my mom being all these reviews when she's not. Gabe actually said that. Those words came out of his mouth.
I will listen first to tell you if it's good enough to run.
Maybe you know what? That might be on the audio recording.
If Kevin Feige was reading his grocery list, I would put it on the podcast.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
I would air 2 hours of dead air from Kevin Feige.
Right. Apparently we couldn't because apparently Gabe is the gatekeeper.
All right, back to Eyeless 34.
Feige passed me in the hallway today.
I know.
And he was like, have you heard about that podcast, Hero Blend?
I hear I'm going to be on it.
So, like, the whole time, Feige's doing the interview, like, he knows, this is actually for Hero Blend.
All right. You need to listen to part of this. We're getting up to a really good part. Okay. Love their analysis. Bring up good competition. Interviews are top tier. Great interviewers, great analysis, and great show. Also, is Kevin's mom hot? he asks. And we really wanted you to hear that.
You know what's funny about that?
Because now it feels like if this is your mom who wrote this, she's fishing for compliments.
Oh, this is like meta. This is like
getting weird.
Oddly enough.
Getting real weird.
So my mom is very beautiful.
She's a wonderful woman.
Oddly enough, growing up, my friends would joke about that. Like so the fact that he said that is funny to me because my friends would always joke about how good looking my mom was.
That's very funny.
You know, obviously it would make me angry because they would say, you know, inappropriate things, but you know, my mom is such a cool person that I even think that if she ever heard jokes like that she would just laugh. I mean, I spent an entire weekend with my mom and dad a couple weeks ago watching Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah.
Wow. Jay and Silent Bob and Clerks, and like it was amazing. My mom's cool about that. But yes, she's a very, very beautiful woman.
Very attractive lady. Okay, so then he says, self-promotion, check out the movie Blacklight, indie film I'm a part of, almost done filming now. So Eyeless 34. There's your promotion.
What's the name?
Blacklight.
No, what's their name? The
Eyeless.
E-Y-E-L-E-S-S?
Correct.
That's one of my favorite. So I don't talk about this a lot on the show, but I'm a huge heavy metal fan.
It's like a Slipknot thing.
Yeah, so Slipknot wrote a song called Eyeless, and in that song, the lyrics are, you can't see California without Marlon Brando's eyes.
Oh.
Oddly enough. So I wonder if that person's a Slipknot fan. And Corey Taylor, who I'd love to get on our show at some point, is the biggest movie fan ever, and he's involved in a documentary in it right now about Robert Englund, who played Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And Corey's latest Slipknot mask was made by Tom Savini.
That's amazing.
Who you might know as the Sex Machine from Dusk Till Dawn.
An amazing
Yeah. Remember that great sequence when the gun flips up? Yeah, it's amazing. Yes. Yeah. So like I'm telling you right now, like Corey, if you ever listen to our podcast, I'd love to have you on. It'd be awesome.
All right. This next one
is Gabe will let you come on.
Oh, that's right. He's not. Yeah, Gabe will let him.
This last one is from Zara167, who is from the UK. He writes, amazing with an exclamation point. This podcast is brilliant. I love the review part of the show. The review part of the show is my
favorite.
It really
goes downhill from there.
It just torpedoes into the tank. But the reviews are great. This podcast is brilliant. Jake, Sean, Kevin, and Gabe have such great chemistry as they debate and discuss movies. You feel as if you are a part of the conversation.
But Gabe doesn't debate.
Their knowledge and banter
he just chooses.
Make the podcast so entertaining, and it has quickly become one of the highlights of my week. They are never afraid to give their honest opinions. I generally find myself agreeing with Jake's point of view, although for us, I was completely on Kevin's side.
Yeah.
The Blend Games introduced me to really good films that I haven't seen yet, and the podcast is a great way to keep up to date with current film news. Congrats on making such a cool and funny podcast. P.S. I'm not Kevin's mum. And Dunkirk with an exclamation point.
Mom, M-U-M?
M-U-M.
Thank you for Kevin's mom and Dunkirk love.
King's
English.
Amazing. All right, so talking points. We're not going to get into news because we have a lot of stuff to get to.
We have our own news.
In terms of what we are doing. Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to go on an update on London, what we've all been up to. As Kevin mentioned earlier, we are here for the Spider-Man Far From Home junket. And Gabe, is this the point in the show where we can react to the movie? The social media embargo has lifted on Spider-Man Far From Home, so I think we can all at least just tell you guys in barest details what we think about it. And I want Kevin to go first because the movie has achieved something relatively significant for him. This is where we will not talk spoilers.
Yes, no spoilers
at all. So you guys are safe to continue listening.
This is a very difficult film to talk about.
It's actually
talking spoilers.
Impossible to talk about it in the sense of why we liked it. So I will say this, and again, this is nothing more than you would see in a social media Twitter reaction.
This is in your tweet.
This is in my tweet. So it's literally, over the past multiple years, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2 has always been my favorite Spider-Man film. Homecoming came very close to it, as did Spider-Verse. And then there was a moment in Far From Home where this film finally surpassed Spider-Man 2.
That's amazing.
And Raimi Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock, and you know, I love Raimi's style. It's still a brilliant film, one of the best superhero movies ever. And this particular film, I can't get into why I love it so much because we can't go down that path yet. But
even saying what you're saying is significant.
Right.
That's major.
From a personal level, part of my reasoning for loving cinema is attached to something else that I feel like this film combines a lot of things that I love in my life into one platform.
That's all I'll say. It's incredible.
That's interesting because I know what you're talking about, and so it's something personal.
Very personal to me.
That has worked on.
Yes, that. And it's the two go hand in hand, but I can't say what it is because we're in spoiler territory if we go down that path. So
I'll say this about it. I'll go next, and I'll say that the first half of the film, the first hour, is a lot of fun, but we talked about this. The tone is tough to figure out,
but
for a reason.
Yes,
for a reason.
I mean, at one point, Kevin looked over at me and asked, Does this feel weird?
Yeah. But
it's supposed to feel weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'll say that the second half of it has the best Spider-Man stuff
ever
I've ever seen.
Ever.
And so I hold the Spider-Man
like it beats Civil War Airport Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. It really
no,
I think it
just
does.
Spider-Man. Not the scene. Well,
yeah, Spider-Man. Okay. Just the Spider-Man. Not the movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In terms of
Winter Soldier and Civil War are still top 5.
I love Homecoming a lot. I love this movie a lot. A lot of people have DM'd me and asked me, like, better than Homecoming. Everyone wants to hear, yeah, is it better than Homecoming?
It is better than Homecoming.
I think that each of them do some things, they both do some things really, really well, right? I'm not ready yet to say one is better than the other.
I love them both.
But I need to see it again. I love them both. There's a couple of things, one or two things, and Jake and I have had very long discussions about this today. There's one or two things that irk me about it that might be fixed on a repeat viewing. I don't know. I'll say this. Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man
ever,
without question,
that we have ever had.
No question.
It's just not close.
Nope.
And Mysterio is one of the most fascinating characters
ever
that we've seen.
Mysterio, I'll say this, is the reason why I love this film.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Very nice.
I do not think it is better than Homecoming.
Okay.
I like it very much. I do. It is a movie that I started out thinking was fine, and then I think it gets better and better with every act.
I thought it was,
the first act I thought was fine. The second act, I was like, okay, this is getting interesting. This is good. And by the third act, I was like, holy crap, I like this.
Yeah.
I borderline love this. I didn't feel that way with Homecoming. From Homecoming, from the start, I thought it was great.
Homecoming to me, I love Homecoming, but besides the Keaton sequence in the car, the action in Homecoming wasn't great.
Here's why Homecoming works for me. To me, the most interesting thing about Spider-Man is that he is a high school kid.
Correct.
And that is in that scene where he's crushed.
This movie focuses all about that.
I don't think it does.
Oh, I completely disagree.
It completely does. They're on a school trip, but to me, Homecoming was about a high school kid who just wanted to hang out with a girl that he liked.
There are literally lines in this film where Tom Holland is saying, I want to be a normal kid.
With Homecoming is that they're actually in high school.
So are they?
No, but they're actually physically in a high school, not on a school trip.
They're on a trip. They're far from home. Literally.
There's a lot of downtime in Homecoming.
Yes.
When he's just kind of figuring out.
I like that.
Me too,
he's doing. Constantly trying to call.
And I'm not knocking. I love Far From Home. I'm not knocking it. But I'm just saying why I think Homecoming is still a better movie.
But the action.
And also, Homecoming has Iron Man.
I agree. But the action in Homecoming is.
See, I like the quieter scenes in Homecoming than I like the action
in Homecoming. The boat scene does not do anything for me. Every action scene in Far From Home is far superior to anything in Homecoming. Would you agree with that, action-wise?
I love the plane fight in Homecoming. Yeah. I really
That's a
do.
Cool scene.
I really like it a lot. I've watched it a lot.
But you know what scenes I'm referring to
Far From Home. No, I know. There's a few that are...
It's the quiet scenes in Homecoming that work. When he is crushed and screaming for help, it reminds us that he's a kid, and there's nothing in Far From Home that is better than
that. Oh, I think Far From Home.
He should be evolving. He's now been through a few big Avengers battles.
Right. He's died.
Think about what's happened since Far From Home.
Yeah.
Or since Homecoming.
Yeah.
He's been snapped.
I get that. He's changed. I get that.
I'd hate to go back
but,
to
but nothing, nothing hit me in the soul in Far From Home like him screaming for help in Homecoming.
I would disagree, and we'll get into this later on. There's something and more emotional about that film than just the high school part that you're referring to. I'll get into that later.
Just to emphasize, I loved Far From Home.
That. Okay.
I'm just playing devil's advocate in that why I liked Homecoming better.
Let me ask this, because we're comparing it in the Spider-Man films universe. Where does it fall in the MCU for you guys?
It's somewhere in the middle for me.
Top seven.
Jesus.
Homecoming's not even my top 10.
Ooh.
Homecoming's in my top 3.
Yeah. This is, in my opinion, far superior to Homecoming.
Homecoming's in my top 5 or 6. This is probably somewhere in the middle for me.
But also you have to understand, and I can't even tell you why I love it, once we can get into an actual discussion on the show,
right,
my critique of it will make more sense.
Right.
Are we going to do a spoiler review?
Eventually.
Does Gabe give us permission?
I would like to do it with my Kevin Feige interview.
No.
If Gabe ever lets me.
If Gabe...
Speaking of Kevin Feige, let me start telling you about the conversation that I had with Kevin Feige.
Can I start out?
Please.
There is nothing cooler than watching your friend get to meet one of their heroes.
Yeah.
And we've all experienced this with each other. I got to experience it watching Kevin get to meet Tarantino and Spielberg. Kevin got to experience it whenever, you know, I called him after I met Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Like, we've all gotten to do it. And honestly, I'd argue it's just as good of a feeling watching someone you care about do it than it is actually doing it yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you know how much it means to that person.
Well,
and that's a cool... And I feel like we got to see Sean do that today.
That's
because
how
Kevin
felt.
Feige is the architect of something that he loves with all of his heart.
And that's how I felt when we were doing our Endgame stuff with the Russos. Like,
yeah, that was fantastic.
But what I mean by that is, well, you obviously were near... You were closer to Sean Sayer and his Feige stuff. I wasn't. So, like, my perception of the Feige... a moment that Sean's about to explain. I don't know anything about it yet, so I'm waiting to hear that.
Oh,
but the Russos, I got to witness Sean tell the Russos in person that it was his favorite movie ever made. But continue.
Well, so, and the thing about the MCU is that it's still relatively new. It's 11 years old. And in my opinion, as we've talked a lot on this show, to me, it's impossible. Like, it should not exist. And even that, going into my interviews with both Gyllenhaal and Sam Jackson, one through line that I asked each of them was just like, what are your thoughts on what the MCU has been able to accomplish? And from Jake Gyllenhaal, the angle was, you were not in it, and now you're part of it. What was your thought on what they've accomplished before you even got into it? And from Sam, it's like, you've been there from day one.
Yeah.
And you've seen what they've been able to do. And they each, both of them gave the exact same answer. It's their emphasis on character.
Yeah.
They build character before anything else, and you care about the
human
elements.
Look at Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a character piece.
If they just made Iron Man 1 and never made another Marvel movie, that would be a great movie.
Yeah. Iron Man 1 is incredible, and I think that people need to go back to it.
I think it's pretty well-regarded.
No, it's well-regarded, but it's so long ago that right now it's all Avengers, right? Iron Man 1 is masterful.
Yeah.
Like, it is awesome.
I remember
John
how big of a deal it was when the post-credit scene came up and... we see Sam Jackson playing Nick Fury for the first time, and he mentions the Avengers. I remember him mentioning the Avengers, and everyone in my theater going like, oh, and me going, wait, who's that? Who are the Avengers?
Yeah,
and I had to have someone explain to me who.
Oh, really?
Jake and I didn't... I mean,
I didn't read the comics.
I'm with you. Yeah. Like, growing up, I collected some comics because I liked the covers, but I wasn't like an avid comic reader.
Yeah.
I always explained that I'm a comic book movie fan, but I'm not a comic fan.
Yeah,
like, I don't read comics.
Yeah. So, I can't, exactly. I'm
a fan of the movies.
I was a big fan of, like, Keaton's Batman movies.
Yes.
And
those are the way I know the characters.
Exactly. Like, me too.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, I don't really know what Iron Man like in the comics.
So Jake and I were having this conversation just now over dinner, and I was explaining to him that part of my routine growing up was every Saturday going to a comic book shop with my mom. My mom would drive me to the comic book shop. I'd get all the new issues from the books I collected. I collected every Spider-Man book, and then I would get a couple of random one-offs. I would get New Mutants and X-Men and some Avengers books, and then we'd go to a 7-Eleven, and she would get coffee, and I would get some food, and we would just sit there. She'd read the paper, and I read comics. That's my whole history of building up to all of this. So to see the MCU come to fruition, and not just come to fruition, because plenty of people have seen things that they love come to the big screen, whether it be...
And it sucked.
Detective Pokemon.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Anything that they cherish.
Harry Potter,
For me, it's always been Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
And so to see it realized in such a fashion, and it's not everything is not a 5-star, you know, but it's largely successful with a couple of dips. But the big picture of it all
is positive.
And mind-blowing to me that just because we all understand how movies get made, this should not happen.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe is, in my opinion, the greatest accomplishment in the history of cinema.
I would agree.
What's wild about it, though, and if you actually... I was watching an interview that the cast did with Kimmel for this movie, and the sheer scope of them shooting Endgame 2 years ago...
Right.
And then doing Far From Home somewhere... I mean, it's so amazing to me that these movies actually work continuity-wise.
Yeah.
Like, it's truly incredible to think about the fact that Endgame was pretty much done, except for some reshoots, in 2016.
Right.
And the fact that these, I don't know, it just blows my mind. I was curious when you talked to Feige, did you ask him about his favorite order at Starbucks?
No, I didn't, but I probably should have.
Ask him his question?
No.
Did you tell him to ask him his question?
What is his greatest order at Starbucks? His favorite.
When he goes to Starbucks, he orders a cold MC brew. Yes. Yes.
This week's episode of Real Blend sponsored by Starbucks.
So here I step into this room with the architect of my favorite thing at this point now. And I've met him before at said visits. I've never had a one-on-one with him. It's my first time. So I take the moment to, and let me back up and let everybody else know what happened on the way to London. Should I tell this story?
Please. It's part of the bit.
I'm wearing a Spider-Man shirt into my Kevin Feige interview. It's a Spider-Man shirt that I purchased when I landed here in London at Forbidden Planet Comics. Because on my way to London, my bag got stolen by somebody. Inadvertently.
My mom.
Inadvertently.
She just flew there to get your bag.
An elaborate sting by your mom. I got on the parking bus to go to the terminal. Someone was getting off of the bus at another spot and grabbed my suitcase instead of their own.
Mm.
So when I arrived at the terminal on the bus from the parking lot to the terminal, my suitcase was no longer there in the 5 minutes it took to get from my car to the terminal. And I had 30 minutes to decide, am I getting on this plane to London with nothing to be at the Spider-Man junket, or am I pulling the plug and abandoning? Now, the upside to this was I had a backpack, and in the backpack it had my laptop and my phone and my passport and everything that I needed to still go, just no clothes. All of my clothes were in my suitcase. So I went and purchased things when I got here, including, and there were four things in my suitcase that I relied on for this trip, four Spider-Man shirts, including one I bought specifically for this junket, which you can see on my social media. It's a Spider-Man Mysterio t-shirt.
Is the only reason I was in the text chain?
To be fair,
I posted it.
Someone else wore it today.
Really? That would have been really awkward.
Maybe this is all for a reason.
So I walk in and Feige says, "Oh, I like your Spider-Man shirt." The icebreaker.
Were we not telling you the entire time, dude, the shirt's kind of better?
You did say it was. Yeah, it was. It was working. So anyway, icebreaker, told him the whole suitcase story, then went into my gush about Endgame and how it's replaced Die Hard. And I just thanked him for everything because this is my opportunity. To say, you know...
Can I interrupt?
22 movies, 11 years.
You mentioned thanking him, which I was saying, like, I find myself doing that. As I get older, I'm getting to the point where, to me, the most fulfilling thing is looking someone in the eyes and saying thank you.
Yeah.
Isn't that such a, like... I don't know when that used to not be a thing for me. But saying thank you to people that do stuff for me now is like...
I thanked Kevin Feige today. I was literally in a hall. I was in a hallway on deck for Samuel L. Jackson. And Feige, first of all,
when Chris Evans walked by us at the Endgame junket,
thank you him.
Yeah, we said thank you.
I had randomly had a 5 minute conversation with Amy Pascal, which was crazy cool because like she's made some amazing films.
Yeah.
And then Feige walks by, and I stand up immediately and go, "Oh my gosh, this movie's amazing! Thank you so much." He goes, "I like your tie," and then he rolled out. Yeah, it was super fast. I wish I got a photo with him, but continue.
So anyway, we get into the interview. It's a lot of Far From Home spoiler talk, so I won't get into that. I will say I was telling this to Jake over dinner. There's moments in the conversation where the questions that I was asking, and not to pat myself on the back,
no,
but they're,
do it,
they are like Spider-Man specific and Mysterio geeky, and
where you have to be a true fan to ask the question.
And I saw his face light up. Like you just saw the difference where he realized,
these guys are true fans.
I'm talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about. And then three other times over the course of the conversation, he would just say something along the lines of, you know, and then Spider-Man fans, I don't have to tell you, like, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, someone else might not.
Is that the ultimate? That's awesome.
Every time he did it, I just wanted to die. Just like,
you wanted a Kevin Feige. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Stop.
So it was just,
you don't get to laugh anymore.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell a really funny story.
No, he's actually laughing at something Eric sent him from Hero One. No, it was just the timed out perfectly. Yeah,
it's a really funny. So I don't take a lot of pictures. I don't like to ask for a lot of pictures in interviews.
Kevin and I have no problem doing it whatsoever.
These guys do. It's their thing for sure. I don't need people's pictures. I don't really want, but I'm starting to.
I want a piece of their soul.
I'm sorry. starting to frame some things that have been really significant over the years. I've been doing this for almost 20 years now at this point. And so I wanted a Feige picture. And this is a funny story. Eric Carroll is an executive at Marvel. He's a super big wig, works with Feige. He's in the room also, and he's almost part of the interview, right? And you're really going to appreciate this, Kevin, because of where you come from with photos. Kevin is definitely answering all of the questions, but every once in a while, Eric will sort of chime in. And it's not like I'm interviewing the two of them, but he's definitely there. We start getting to the end of the interview, and now I start thinking about the photo, right? Like, how am I going to get the photo? And then I think...
And we've all been there.
I go, oh no, Eric Carroll's going to want to get the picture. He's going to want to get the picture. Would be really fine.
And,
right?
And just a quick sidebar, I've already gotten a lot of shit today for cropping someone out of my photo. Yeah. So you have to be really
careful. Told you that was not a great idea. Jake, I'm about to call Jake out, but Jake comes to me in the hallway.
Can you tell that? Can you tell that story?
Wait.
Please sidebar.
We want sidebar?
I'll finish mine.
All right.
So Eric Carroll, I'm in the back of my mind thinking, Eric Carroll's going to want to be in this picture. But thankfully, when it ended and I said, and we're all standing up, and I didn't say it to anyone out loud. I was like, do you guys mind if we snap a picture?
Did Eric Gall take it for you?
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. It was the life raft I needed.
He had to have known.
Wow. Yeah,
I think he did.
And again,
good for him.
He's been on set visits with us before.
That's cool.
I've been in interviews with him before. He is the nicest guy.
I was guessing. That's actually what happened.
And that is exactly
what happened.
That's cool, man. Let me take it for you.
Let me defend myself for a second.
You cannot defend yourself.
What everyone else wanted to do. I'm just the only one that had the guts to do it.
Let me set this up. So Jake and I we were interviewing the whole cast.
Everyone here has done it.
No, I've never done it.
Didn't you crop out Diane Weist out of your picture?
Did you really?
An Academy Award winner?
No, I didn't crop her out.
Yeah, it's just you and Clint Eastwood.
No, mine's me and Clint Eastwood.
You cropped out an Oscar winner.
She wasn't in my photo.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Talking to you, O'Connell.
Let's get perspective. So we're in this hallway at the junket today because, like, to me, this is the stuff that I think listeners like to hear.
Yeah.
We're at this junket and it's four rooms. So not the Quentin Tarantino movie, but it's four rooms. So it's one room is Tom Holland, Zendaya, Jacob Batalon. Next room is Samuel Jackson. Next room is Jake Gyllenhaal, and then finally John Watts. So I go down to do Tom Holland and Zendaya and Jacob Batalon. So I'm going to give my picture story because it transitions into Jake's. So mine's actually kind of embarrassing. So I go in the room.
I haven't heard the story.
I don't think I told you.
No,
it's not that bad. I went into the room and I did the interview and. It went great. I was like very happy with it. And then when I got up, I go, "Hey guys, can I get a quick picture with you?"
Okay.
So then they go, "Oh, no problem." So I start patting down my pants. My phone's not on me anymore.
Okay.
And I realize I left it outside on my chair on deck.
No.
So one of two things could have happened here. One, they could have said, "Sorry, Kevin, we don't have time." I was like, "Can I borrow?" I literally said out loud, "Can I borrow someone's phone?"
Okay.
And
their room was really complicated because it was a ton of equipment.
Yeah, the way you walked into the room, you had to go a very weird way around.
Yeah,
you couldn't have just run out to the hall and back.
No. So, thankfully, and to Tom Holland's publicist's credit, Tom Holland's publicist, super nice, stands up and goes, "Kevin, I got you, no problem."
Okay.
So she goes, "Here's my phone." So I take her phone, I do a selfie, I put it on my Instagram. I include Jacob Batalon, and then so I go outside, and his publicist was just so cool that she followed me outside.
Who's
and,
publicist?
Tom Hollins,
okay.
and literally airdropped the picture to me right away.
Oh wow, nice!
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
So then Jake goes in.
No, tell your story.
Yeah, I'm gonna let
defend
Jake.
But Jake,
okay, yeah, here's the deal. When we got the lineup for who was doing the junket and how they're paired,
Gabe is intrigued. That's how you know the story.
You find out who you're getting. And more importantly, you find out how they're paired.
Yes.
You want, and the big question is Tom Holland by himself or is he paired with other people?
Right.
He was paired with Zendaya.
Yes.
And Jacob Batalon.
Right.
Which, from a TV perspective, you automatically, and I love Jacob in the, his character Ned.
Terrific.
Is great.
His, very funny.
Ned is basically me in high school.
Yeah.
But
when you posted that photo, didn't you say Ned's dead, baby? Ned's dead. Yeah,
so I genuinely really do like him in the movies. But from a TV perspective.
What about an Instagram perspective?
Shut up, O'Connell. From a TV perspective, tell me you didn't wish that it was Tom by himself or at least just Tom and Zendaya.
That's not the point.
Oh, no.
It is a point.
Well, to answer his question, of course, when you do the interview.
Right. Yeah.
But picture-wise, there was never any moment.
So, yeah, listen.
This was
so not. I say, hey, guys, can I get a picture with you? Sure, come on over. I say, like, Zendaya, like, you take the picture. So Zendaya is actually the one taking the picture of all of us.
Didn't you push Jacob out of the way?
Listen.
Did you ask Jacob? Actually,
what's funny is that Tom says, like, lean in.
Jacob?
So the way the picture is framed, it's Zendaya,
yeah,
me, and Tom.
Yeah.
In the backdrop of the Spider-Man poster.
Beautifully framed.
It's beautifully framed.
Yes.
And then out of frame by himself is Jacob, who, if I'm being honest, I could have done without in the picture.
Such a nice kid.
An amazing kid.
Great kid.
Really nice guy.
Yeah.
But
just don't go to Jake's Instagram if you want to see the photo.
If it had just been Jacob in a room, would you have taken a picture?
No.
Okay then.
But hold on. See, this is called the denial and the lies and like he's not lying. But Jake comes to me and we're all playing this for fun because I actually completely understand why Jake did what he did.
Of course.
I just couldn't do it.
Kevin's a good person. He couldn't do it.
No. I don't mean it like that. To clarify that statement, I have a lot of anxiety. Like, Jake is, in my opinion,
asshole.
No. More logical and more clear thought thinking than I am.
Sure.
So if I did this, I would be like worrying about it forever. Jake does it because it's probably the best way to post.
Look
a photo.
At this picture.
No, I'm looking at
Look
it.
How easily he's cropped out.
Right.
There.
So
to there.
And Zendaya is making a really funny face.
Yeah. To there. Like, how much better of a picture is it like that?
I agree. So I want to clarify two things. One, I'm not judging Jake at all for this because I actually understand.
He feels a little judgy.
No. I want to clarify. I understand why Jake did what he did.
Yeah.
And I actually understand it completely. My personal reason for not doing it was because I would be worried about it. It's nothing to do with my, like, me being a better person. It was just literally I would be worried about cutting him out and then, like, you know, getting in trouble or whatever.
Yeah.
So Jake comes to me in the hallway and he goes, would I be a D-word if I cut out what?
That's the word you're afraid of saying on this podcast?
I have no idea. If I cut him out. And I said, I wouldn't do that.
I did it anyway.
Then, 30 minutes later, I pick up my phone. And like I thought maybe half
Jacob's
my
nowhere to be seen.
I thought half my screen was missing. I was like, where like am
He's
I
such
covering
a nice
this?
Kid, yeah, yeah. Too. He's such a nice kid.
You know what's worse?
I think he gets it.
My thumbnail for my YouTube video.
It has him out cut too.
Him out too.
He cut his thumbnail on YouTube.
Why?
Because a picture of Tom Holland and Zendaya goes a long way.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
We need to get Jacob Batalon on the show now. That needs
Gabe will let him on for
Jacob
sure.
Jacob Batalon and Jon Favreau together.
How did the rest of your interviews go?
Oh my god! That interview was great. All the interviews were fantastic.
By the way, I get why Jake did what he did. I actually don't judge him for it. We're just making fun of him. It is funny.
And we joke too, also that Gyllenhaal and Sam Jackson can both, for different reasons, be
tricky.
Yeah, prickly interviews. Yeah. If they're not in the mood to talk and play around.
Yeah.
We've all done both of them at multiple occasions, and sometimes they're fantastic, and sometimes you just got them on a bad day.
Sometimes you go viral because they want you to say the N-word.
Yeah. Yes, that's another.
Yeah,
Jacob Batalon never should have asked you to do
that. That's why I got
super awkward when he did that. But today they were
spectacular.
I do think you should probably explain that to anybody.
Oh, have we never talked about that before?
No, just tell the
audience. In case you don't know what I'm talking about, I had an interview with Sam Jackson go viral for Django about 7 years ago. Because I brought up the usage of the N-word in Django.
But your questioning was very interesting.
No, because the question was going to be, and I never got around to asking the question, which is, does the context or the usage of the word determine whether or not you'll say it?
Right.
Like, Quentin writes it a certain way. You trust Quentin. You know Quentin. You'll say it for Quentin.
Yeah.
If another writer writes it in a way that you don't think is worthy or think is manipulative or uses the word in a way it should not be used, would you say, no, I don't feel comfortable saying that?
Yeah.
I didn't get around to asking that because all I got to... There's a lot of usage of the N-word in this movie,
right.
And he cut me off and said, what word is that?
Yeah.
And wouldn't proceed to answer my question unless I said the word, which I would not.
It went viral.
Viral because it was taken out of context.
I heard Stern talk about it.
Yeah, Stern talked about it.
I was like, whoa.
30 seconds. But here's the deal, is that if you watch the whole interview, he ends up laughing and kind of giving me like a hard time, kind of jabbing me for it.
Yeah.
But when you take those 30 seconds out, you can manipulate that into whatever you want to do. And it was a
You didn't look bad, though.
Oh, I never looked bad, but I always walked away feeling bad that he looked bad because he shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, I think what ultimately happened was that those interviews were so good that people came to the channel, watched them.
I ended up getting a lot of, because it was part of like a 16-minute long video with Quentin Tarantino and Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz, interviews I was very proud of.
Now, I have a question. Yeah. When you see Sam, like on a day like today, does he remember that?
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Does he really?
Whenever for Glass and Shaft.
I was there when you guys made up for Turbo.
Yeah,
Turbo.
Yeah, we made up. We did this whole bit where he and I made up in Spain together.
I remember that.
And then.
Wait, can you. Think about what you just said.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson.
Think about what you just said. We made up together in Spain.
In Spain.
Yeah.
And Kevin was there.
I was standing right there the whole time.
Yeah. It was great.
For Turbo.
But I went for Glass. Whenever I walked in, and I said, I got to be honest, people still, and I didn't say what it was. It was just for me and him. And I said, people still ask me about it. And he looks at me and goes, people still ask me about it too.
No kidding.
Whenever I walked in for Shaft, he was paired with Jesse T. Usher and Richard Roundtree. And he looks at them and he goes, remind me to tell you a story about this kid later.
By the way, did you hear about Richard Roundtree's favorite Wachowski film? The Wachowskis? Richard... Boundtree? That was a deep cut. I don't know where that came from.
I can't see Gabe's face. I can't tell if he thinks we're funny at all.
I went way deep.
Kevin's face looks so surprised by how deep he went.
I actually didn't even know it was coming out of my mouth until I said it. Like, that's how deep it was.
Goodness gracious. All right, anyway, so we'll rebound from that.
And we gotta move on.
Yes. Right,
so the interview with Sam, Tom Holland, Zendaya, and Jacob Batalon was great. All right, so moving on to Sam Jackson.
Well, no, we got John Watts. Sam Jackson.
Look, okay. So Sam Jackson is someone that I think I've interviewed the most over my entire career. I gotta tell this story. It's in my interview.
Movie fans will appreciate this story.
I don't know.
This is, it's on my.
You're about to freak the F out.
Oh, I don't think I told you.
You're about to freak.
Okay. So, every time I interview.
Ooh, I'm getting chills just.
All right, little bit of a backstory. Over the years, I've interviewed Sam Jackson a lot. My wallet, which I've had for many, many years, says bad MF on it. Actually, Jake, we should kind of go back to Django for a second. Give perspective here. Jake and I interviewed Quentin Tarantino for the first time together at Django. When we were leaving the junket, Quentin stopped us and goes, "Oh, you two are together!" Like, because we were both like,
it made sense to him.
Movie fans,
which is to me a huge compliment.
He knew that we loved his movies and genuinely wanted to speak with him. And
it was how when Ty Sheridan walked in for our podcast the other day, he looked at us three and goes, "Oh, you three are together." Yeah,
that's really funny.
Do you remember
that story? Yeah. You're exactly right.
What did I ask Quentin in the hallway after that moment?
Do you still have the wallet?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I said to Sam Jackson.
Yeah,
Sam Jackson. No, I kept it. So Quentin actually kept the wallet from Pulp Fiction. So when I interviewed Sam Jackson at Turbo, combining him with Jake's story now, I gave Sam Jackson a bad MF wallet, which he told me he still has. The last time I spoke, not today, I didn't ask him about it, but I asked him about it every time. He's like, yeah, I still have it in my house. Glass? I still feel bad because Ryan Reynolds was in that interview and I didn't give Ryan Reynolds a wallet.
He didn't go on to do anything, so it's all right. Yeah, but you didn't give him a Deadpool tie clip?
I did, he threw it over his shoulder, yeah. So Sam Jackson is Sam Jackson's an interesting interview. We can all attest to this. Like, sometimes his answer can be very short.
You never know what kind of Sam Jackson you're going to get.
And I found that when I go in and I geek out a little too much, he's kind of like the guy who like keeps it cool. Like, it's not a big deal
just had a good friend of ours, tell us about a really bad experience he had with Sam the other day.
Yeah, yeah. And on a whole, Sam Jackson to me is an amazing interview. It's just that there are times where I feel like if my question's a little too nerdy, like I remember walking in to interview him for Kingsman. And I was like, dude, by the way, I just went to Paris. And while I was in Paris, I went to the Eiffel Tower with a Royale with cheese box and took a photo. Check this out. He goes, cool, man. Like, it was like, you know.
And there's nothing that deflates you more than when you realize Sam Jackson doesn't think you're cool.
Right. So I actually think secretly Sam Jackson is just as much of a fan of things as we are.
I think so.
Oh, for sure.
Like, and he geeked out today.
Oh, today was
my Star Wars question, he geeked out hard.
Yeah. So you tell that story. I'll tell this is crazy.
How's Gabe doing? Because we're going.
You say move
it. I'll keep it quick, Gabe. This is a great story, though. I promise. So we're in the middle of the interview. I asked him a bunch of things about the movie, which you can't really talk about. Like, this was a very tough day because you can't talk about essentially anything in this film with any of the actors.
Right.
Everything with my questions today were more about
earlier films, told me a great story about how he originally think Nick Fury lost his eye, which is a really cool story.
Cool.
He talked about a lot of things. So at the end of the interview, they're wrapping me up, and I go, I had already set up in the interview that we're kind of here for a movie we can't talk about. So I said, since we're here, I want to ask you a question I've always wanted to ask you. It's nothing to do with the movie, but when Vincent and you are driving, like I called him, I think I said Vincent, when Vincent and Jules are driving in the car and Vincent blows Marvin's head off, and then, you know,
I
shot Marvin in the face, right? And then they go to Quentin Tarantino's house, Jimmy, right? I think it was Jimmy.
I think so.
Yeah. And he has all the brain in his hair. I said, what was that stuff? Like, what did they do to make, like, Marvin's brains? And at first I thought he was going to go, it was just, you know, just like red syrup.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. He goes, all right, so let me tell you what. So he goes, all right, it was like a red syrup mixed with oatmeal. And then he goes into this whole description, and then he goes, but I'll tell you something interesting. I'm paraphrasing him. Originally in the script, Marvin was supposed to get shot in the throat.
Okay.
And he was going to be choking on the bullet as blood squirted out of his throat.
Isn't that crazy?
Onto them in their passenger seats. And then Vincent, John Travolta, was then going to shoot him in the face to keep him from, like all the noise he was making from being shot in the throat.
Oh, my God.
So
isn't that crazy?
So initially, it was going to be like this, a scene where the gun goes off, it goes into the throat, Marvin's, like, still alive. It's not just the blow-up of his head. And, like, there's, like, blood gushing out, and then he shoots him in the face. And then
did he change it?
I don't know. I didn't ask him why, because it was wrapped up.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and then he told me something that was more interesting. He goes, I'll tell you right now, Vincent shot him on purpose.
Okay.
And I said, well, but
what? I always thought it was a bump in the road.
Yes.
Bump in the road.
Quentin makes it look like it's a bump in the road. He said Vincent shoots Marvin because he's mad at Marvin for not warning them about the guy coming out of the bathroom to
Jerry
shoot
Seinfeld.
Them. It looks like Jerry Seinfeld. That's Patricia Arquette's brother, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think he passed away recently. I don't know his name. I'll have to look it up. It blew my mind. I'm like, you just told me that Vincent meant to shoot Marvin?
It changes that whole...
For the entire past 25 years, I thought it was an accident.
Yeah, of course, everyone thinks
that. But Tarantino kind of frames it as an accident.
He does, but apparently from Jules' perspective, from Sam Jackson's perspective, it was an actual purpose. Like,
wow.
Why else does he have the gun in his hand? Think about it. The gun's in his hand, he turns around. What do you think, Marvin, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's almost as if he's, like, waiting for the bump to hit. So, I don't know.
Wow.
It reframed the entire scene for me.
That's incredible. Now I want to go watch that.
But to have Samuel L. Jackson sitting across from me,
that's nuts,
explaining that there was oatmeal and syrup in his hair, and then, like, walking through the original scope of that scene, it was like,
and
nuts.
You're breaking Pulp Fiction news.
It was surreal. I actually know that.
Blend 1994 is freaking out.
Yeah, we're gonna do 200 page views.
All right, real quick, we're gonna move on. Tell your Star Wars. So this is actually.
Oh, it was just that Nick Fury in the new Spider-Man movie makes a Star Wars joke, and so I asked Sam Jackson. Now we know Star Wars exists within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Does Nick Fury ever look at the Star Wars movies and think that there's an actor in those movies that really looks like him?
Right.
And he told me, he goes, Nick Fury is really sick of hearing how much he looks like the guy who plays Mace Windu. He goes, let me tell you something. He goes, Nick Fury pretends he's sick of hearing it. He goes, deep down, he thinks it's really cool because he thinks Mace Windu is a really cool actor. Like, it was a really fun sort of one of those, like, where, and I led off with that.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to be in such a good mood. I was like, I'm going to lead off with a stupid question because I don't know how much I can milk this good mood for.
No, and what I'll say is that you call that a stupid question. The minute Jake talked about that question, I was like, oh, I'm so jealous I didn't hear that Star Wars line and think of that question.
Well, because I thought the same thing. Whenever Robert Downey Jr. refers to Fat Thor as Lebowski, my first thought is, does Tony Stark think that the guy that plays Lebowski looks like his former boss?
Right.
Who is Jeff Bridges?
Obadiah Stane.
Who is Obadiah Stane? Yeah. Who is Jeff Bridges?
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's a great line. So, all right, anyway, we will have more from Far From Home, including spoiler-filled conversation. And one of the things that we did while we're here at the Junket is an official interview with John Watts.
Which was a great conversation.
It was a really good conversation, but what happened was we let off with non-spoiler stuff, which we will run, I believe, next week, leading into the release of it. But then we switched to spoiler conversation, And again, which is something that happened to Kevin and I with the Russos, we got the Russos for the very first time that they were able to talk spoilers. Well, it happened again with John Watts. He tells us that we are the first people that he's able to talk spoilers with. He actually says to us at one point, he's like, my heart is racing. I'm still so nervous to even discuss this stuff in detail because I feel like I'm going to get yelled at by people or that Kevin Feige is going to step out of the closet and like tranquilize dart me. But the more he was able to open up about a lot of the big surprises that happened in this movie, it turned into a much more interesting conversation.
Yeah. I have a quick sidebar. I don't mean to cut you off. I do want to clarify this because I think it's important. When we were talking about the Pulp Fiction thing, we were talking about the person who comes out of the bathroom and fires at them. It was her. The name of that person, by the way, Robert Arquette, but Robert was transgender.
Okay.
And was named Alexis Arquette. So she passed away, but I just wanted to clarify it was she, not he.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. All right. So we will have a lot more from Far From Home in the next coming weeks, including the spoiler conversation with John Watts, and we will have a longer conversation with Kevin Feige. So basically, we're here early to get a lot of this coverage, and we have plenty more stuff coming. So we're going to shift over to...
And the John Watts thing is amazing. I cannot wait. Like Sean and I did with the Russos when we were able to kind of go into spoiler territory, very similar feeling that we had with this interview.
Yeah, I think you guys are really going to like it, and I would advise you to go out and see Far From Home as quick as possible so that you'll be part of the conversation when it happens. Okay, we're going to shift over and do our top five movies or the five best movies that we have seen in 2019 so far.
I don't want to.
Jake's having a hard time with this.
Because it's stupid.
We will go round robin where each of us will give our fives, our fours, our threes, our twos, our ones, and lead ourselves all the way up to what we hope is going to be the start of a better run through... 2019, because I'll admit, I think that the year so far has been not great, but I legitimately love the five movies I'm about to reveal. Whether they all make my top 10, I doubt it. Some of them absolutely will, but I will still love these five movies. I just don't know if they're going to be top 10 worthy. And starting with my number five is Shazam. And I think Shazam is a really fun movie, one of the better DC movies. I love Zachary Levi. I think it's a much lighter tone for the DC universe. I'm not putting it on par with any of the MCU movies. It's better than a chunk of the MCU movies, but it's not anywhere near the top. But it's just a fun movie that is something different and a good introduction to the character. But truthfully, if I'm telling you Shazam is at number five for me, that's a problem for the year. And I anticipate...
Zachary Levi, by the way.
We're 6 months...
Zachary Levi?
Yeah.
What did I say, Levi?
We've been joking with him about the Levi thing.
I get that like wrong all the time. Yeah. That's right. So Shazam is my five. Kevin, what's your five? What's your number five?
Okay. So right now... Okay, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Does Spider-Man Far From Home count within this grouping?
It would be in my five. Yes.
So am I allowed to include it? Or are we doing this...
Sean's five just got...
Well, it just got changed.
Did your list include that movie?
No.
Okay, good. Then let's.
I'd argue it should because it comes out in July. Yet.
Okay, so let's.
It shouldn't.
No, it comes out in July.
Spider-Man: Far From Home would be on this list.
Yes.
Just want to give a heads
it
up
would be
on
in
that.
My top five, yes.
But because we're doing this list on June, what's today's date?
The 19th.
19th.
My anniversary.
18th. Oh no, 19th. You're right.
Anniversary.
A wedding anniversary.
My wedding anniversary.
20 years.
That's amazing. 20
years.
And you're here with us.
Here with us.
Here with you guys.
Yes.
I know. That's how much I love Real Blend.
Yeah. Well, Eric's recording a Hero Blend at your house right now. That's what's going on.
Is that what they
with
call
Michelle.
It? Recording
Hero Blend. That's the announcement is that Sean's wife is now co-host on Hero Blend. He's texting. Gabe's texting with Eric right now to make sure everything's going.
Saying, get out of the house.
Home. So, okay. Being that all of these movies, Spider-Man Far From Home is not eligible for this list. My number five is Blinded by the Light.
But that doesn't come out either.
Oh, you're right. I can't include that one.
Blinded by the Light.
All right, well, I got to start over. You go first.
For me, my number five is John Wick Chapter 3.
Okay.
It's just...
All right, well, that's my number five, too, then, I guess.
It's so batshit crazy.
I need something.
I mean, it's just so relentlessly insane.
That's my number five, and I'll let Jay take it.
It goes a little bit, and we can talk about this together. Even though it goes a little bit, I'd argue, in the final act, it goes a little bit overboard. I mean, those are some beautifully
choreographed ballets of badass. I mean, that is just unbelievable. And I like the mythology that they're building. I like that, you know, it's getting it's so far beyond they killed his dog at this point. But I really enjoyed it, and for the love of God, it better not be on my top 10 list by the end of the year.
So you're both, that's your number five.
Yeah, that for is for me.
My number four is Yesterday. Really beautiful film. Oh, wait, has it opened yet?
See, this
no, is the counts,
it
counts.
Opens in June. Why does that count?
Because it opens in June.
It opens June 28th, and then Spider-Man.
I changed my number five. I changed my number five. I changed my number five to Yesterday.
This exercise is blowing up.
I told you I didn't want to do this.
All right, so I'm...
I changed my five. My five is yesterday.
I'm confused here, but they said it has to be when it
comes
out.
No, it has to be when it comes out.
June 28th is not for another week and a half.
No, but that's June. It's the first 6 months of the year.
But it's also played festivals.
It's played festivals.
So it's Blinded by the Light,
though. It has to come out in the first 6 months of the year. It has to come out in the first half of the year.
All right,
first half of the year.
I need to revamp
it. It has to be released in the first half of the year. Blinded by the Light isn't out till like August.
Four is Yesterday. Come
on. All right, I just started.
Really
over.
Sweet movie.
Yesterday.
Lily James is fantastic. Danny Boyle, great return to form.
And that one scene that we can't talk about.
Oh!
That one scene. And I told
you. Do you love it too?
Whenever.
You love that scene?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I was.
Remember, I told you. I said that I think that scene's going to be divisive.
I don't know if it is. It's so
well,
great.
Well, it was divisive at the junket.
Was it really?
Yeah, there were people that didn't. I like that scene at all.
I loved it.
Yeah, there were people that found it offensive.
Offensive? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, what's your four, Kevin?
All right, I had to revamp my list because I didn't realize that we had protocol and parameters here. All right, so Jake reminded me of John
Wick. Had you never been on this show ever?
Yeah, that's true. Jake reminded me of John Wick 3. So John Wick 3 is going to be my number five, okay. Solely based on the action scenes, even though it's not it's my least favorite of the franchise. John Wick 1 and 2, I think, are better films. My number five, John Wick 3. We're all on four now, right? So my
four.
Number four
I said yesterday,
is going to be Booksmart. Wilde's film.
Oh, I didn't even put that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. The claymation scene of that movie alone is worthy of your viewing.
That's really
it's very well done. I think Billy Lord's performance is one of my favorite performances of the year so far. I love the commentary it makes. I thought Sudeikis was hilarious. Olivia Wilde did a great job directing it. And I cannot wait for her to direct again.
Can I ask you a question?
Booksmart's amazing, yes.
And people are going to say...
Is this a Superbad question?
Yeah.
Which
Superbad or Booksmart? And I think that's a very fair question.
It's an interesting question because then...
It's a fair question.
I mean, personally... But here's the thing, though. Like, it's all about your personal experience going into a movie, right? I personally related more to Superbad.
Don't you think they're really similar?
They're similar, but the only thing that's similar about them is they're a movie about two friends... Going to parties last night in high school.
Yeah, but just the interaction.
And then
the
Jonah
two.
Hill's sisters. And yeah, listen, I get it. I get that they're similar. But Booksmart, my number four.
Jake? I think Booksmart's much better than Superbad.
Do you?
I think Superbad's a better movie.
I think Superbad's
a better movie.
I think Superbad's far better.
But I also related to Superbad more, personally.
My number four, Shazam, for all the reasons Sean said. I just had a smile on my face the entire time. It just reminded me of old school Amblin magic that treated kids like adults. Treated kids like they could handle mature themes.
Yeah.
I like that it was a superhero movie that didn't feel the need to jump into the superhero action in the first 10 minutes. It takes the whole act to get into the superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that it represented a group of kids that really hadn't been represented before, like orphans that lived in the orphanage.
And
we hadn't really seen that before, and that was really touching. And that one scene, I don't want to ruin it for anyone that hasn't seen it, but that one scene at the end, the big payoff.
Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, that I got tears.
Yeah.
So that was a great movie.
It is really exciting.
Really big fan.
We're going to break some news right now.
What?
Matthew Vaughn's Kingsman prequel.
Oh, The King's Man?
Has a name.
Oh, yeah.
The King's Man.
I like that.
Me too.
February of 2020.
It's awesome.
There's a logo and a title.
And it's a prequel.
It is a prequel.
The King's Man.
The
I like
King's
that.
King's Man. And it stars, who's in that, Gabe? You went to the set.
Yeah, Gabe. How was that, visiting the set for Hero Blend?
Ralph Fiennes? Is that correct? Liam Neeson?
Wow. Schindler's List reunion.
Liam Neeson? No.
No?
No. One other big-time person, though, right? No?
Colin's not in it?
Colin's not in it. Don't tell me what to do, Gabe. Oh.
Chicky Ticks.
Is Elton John in it?
No, he's not. But he will be in a movie that's on in my top three to this point.
Dude,
but number three for me is Us. And Us, this is where I get to the point where I think these are movies that will end up being in my top 10. And I still, this is where I'm disappointed. I still haven't seen Us a second time. I've only seen it the one time. How many times have you seen it now?
I've seen Us 4 times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 3 for me.
And I know I'm going to like it more the second time.
Have you guys watched it at home yet?
No.
It plays well at home. I watched it at home.
Oh, really?
I watched it on Blu-ray.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I really like Us a lot. I think I'll even like it more.
Oh, you know what's crazy about when you watch it a third time about the ending?
Yeah.
It still doesn't make any sense.
So that's where I land. I think Jordan Peele continues to prove that he's a outstanding new voice in both horror and thrillers. I almost want to see him switch gears a little bit and see if he has another muscle to flex, because I think he does. And we'll see what he does next. I don't know what his next few plans are, but yeah, I think Us is my number 3 right now. Kevin?
I went with Shazam for number 3. Nice. I thought that... I just really thought that Zachary Levi, the performance was amazing. The whole scope of everything that was executed in this film, from the comedic tone to the horror tone to the action tone. I just think that the entire process of this movie just worked so well. And I think I love that it really kind of had a great element of real life drama with the idea of the foster care system and Zach Levi's character going through
that. I really like the foster care system. Yeah.
And that was amazing. But and then the action at the end, I love the sequences when who's the actor who like the kid, not Asher Angel,
the kid from It.
Jack
Dawson.
I don't remember.
That's Titanic. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I like the scenes when he's like filming
Jack Dylan
Grazer.
There you go.
Yeah. And he's filming Shazam like learning his superpowers, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes, that was very funny.
So to me, that I thought that was interesting. So
all right, your 3.
My number 3 is Endgame. Look, I know on this podcast I've given it
what?
A lot. Listen, I know on this podcast I've given it a lot of flack, but I've given it a lot of flack. Not because I thought it was a bad movie, but because I was disappointed that it wasn't the movie I wanted it to be.
You're not the movie you wanted it to be.
I know.
Doesn't make any sense.
My parents say the same thing.
It makes no sense.
No, I mean, I cannot deny that Endgame has a lot of incredible moments and really does a lot to pay off an 11-year, 22 movie journey. I mean, I can't.
So you don't even know.
You don't even know. but I can't deny what that movie does right. And what that movie does right is far more superior than what in my estimate it does wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a number 3 for me.
All right. 2 for me is Rocket Man.
Can I go ahead and say 2 for me is also Rocket Man?
Nice.
So we'll bang that
out. And 2 for me is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But go ahead.
Rocket Man is, again, the movie that I wanted Bohemian Rhapsody to be, as much as Kevin loves Bohemian Rhapsody. I love Elton's music, but I love the way it uses Elton's music. I think Taron Egerton is fantastic. Yeah. I think
is he going to get an Oscar nomination?
No, because I think the movie came out too soon.
And it didn't do well enough.
Right. Paramount has an uphill battle to remount that campaign. If the rest of the year is weak, then maybe. But I can't see it being weak enough to get him in. And yet, it's such a rewarding film. I said this at the time when we reviewed it. There are arrangements of classic Elton John songs from that movie that I actually prefer to the original songs,
Saturday
which is
night.
Crazy. Crocodile Rock in the Troubadour scene is better than the actual Crocodile Rock. His version of Your Song, which he sings himself, is beautiful.
I have it on my phone.
And it's just a great movie. And I'm sad that enough people didn't go check it out because...
But every person I talk to that sees it loves it.
Right.
And then not enough people are seeing it.
Bohemian Rhapsody made a fortune.
Almost a billion. Literally almost a billion.
Bohemian Rhapsody's a better movie.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I think Rocket Man, my problem... I love Rocket Man. I would go as far as to say... I really liked Rocket Man. My problem with Rocket Man was that I thought the breaking into music, which I love musicals, but two of my favorite movies ever are Sweeney Todd and I'm trying
really?
To... Yeah, I love Sweeney Todd. I love Sweeney
really?
Todd. Huge Sweeney Todd fan. My wife and I love that movie. Huge
really?
Fan. It's actually one of my top 5 Burton films. Probably top 3, actually.
What?
Yeah. Actually, I love Sweeney Todd.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 3 or 4 times.
Have you seen more than 3 Tim Burton films?
Oh, yeah. I've interviewed him for more than 3 films. Yeah. We all just got really big eyes there, right?
Hey.
So I thought Rocket Man broke into song a little too much. I thought that it took me out of the film and reminded me it was a musical.
People say about
Moulin Rouge was the other one I was thinking about. Yeah,
oh, that's really
I love Moulin Rouge. Okay. But Rocket Man, I think, was very good, but I wouldn't call it better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Rocket Man is a great biopic. Bohemian Rhapsody is a great commercial.
Bohemian Rhapsody, the live aid scene in Bohemian Rhapsody is better than any scene in Rocket Man.
Oh, any scene no. in
Rocket Man. Kevin,
no.
do you know Tim Burton's favorite Elton John song?
No.
Rocket Batman.
Oh, yes. That was beautiful.
That was great.
That was really good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
What's your, you said two is Rocket Man.
My two is Rocket Man.
My number one's Endgame. And if you need to know why, you can listen to the last 15 episodes of this podcast.
I haven't even done my number two yet. My number two is Endgame.
Oh, where are we? Wait, what? Yeah. I said two and Rocket Man two.
But I sidebarred.
You jumped into, okay.
So my number two is Endgame.
Endgame, okay. Yep. Go ahead.
All right, are we on number one now?
Oh, I thought you were going to give a reason, but you...
Oh, no, I love
Endgame.
You
two talk together.
Yeah.
Two and one. That's
Hi, how are you?
I like Endgame for every reason Jake didn't.
Yeah.
Fat Thor.
I love Fat Thor. I think it's a great concept and a great metaphor on the idea that
Thor... But we agree that Endgame's not better than Infinity War.
It's not better than Infinity War.
I don't know Jake's one. My one is Endgame. Your one is...
Us.
My one is Us.
What?
No, it's not.
What?
Hold on a second.
It makes no sense.
It literally
That's how little I like the movies this year.
No, you don't like Us more than Endgame.
You don't deserve to put Us at number one.
I don't deserve... I don't want to put any... I didn't want to do this. I told you guys. I hate the movies this year.
Us is not your number one.
It is.
That's a lie.
The things
The things
like about Us, I love Jake. More than most... I hate the movies this year. I didn't want to do this.
Jake, Gabe, isolate that soundbite. That soundbite, please. I just want Jake yelling. I hate the movies.
I hate the movies that have come out this year.
Wow, more than you like.
If any of these five are on my top 10 list by the end of the year, it will be the worst year I've ever done a top 10 list in my entire life.
Yesterday
will not be on my top 10 list.
It's really special.
I love the Beatles.
It's a really good movie.
It'll do.
Endgame is fantastic.
It was a
film. It's a game changer film. You're an awful person.
I cannot
This
believe.
Is the sound of me crumpling up my list.
All right, fine. So let's hope that 10 more better films come out this year, including... Oh, I want to see Blinded by the Light so badly.
It's good.
Yeah, I know that Gabe said that we can't pick it, and that if we get Bruce Springsteen on the podcast, he won't run it. But
no, he'll run on Hero Blade.
Yes, he will. All right. This week in movies, three movies that we have not seen because we've been traveling. Anna, which is a new
Annabelle.
Luke Besson. No.
Anna.
A new Luke Besson.
There's a new Luke Besson film this week?
About a blonde girl who is a lethal killer. I mean, it's
what?
It is literally every Luke Besson movie ever made.
How did I not know this was happening?
It's called
Did you know
Anna.
This was happening?
No.
There's a trailer for it, and you should watch it. It's Lucy with another person, essentially.
But Luc Besson has a film coming out that two out of three film critics have not heard of.
Yes, that is happening. It's called Anna, and it's coming to theaters now. But most people will either go see Child's Play. Did you guys see it?
No.
Nope.
Or Toy Story 4. Did you guys see it?
Nope.
All right.
I'm seeing the movie. So theoretically, yes, we are in
scheduling,
London.
Can we just say it was scheduling?
Yeah,
it was all scheduling.
We did not choose to see Toy Story 4. Yes. We will see it Thursday night.
Our screenings of Toy Story 4 happened this week, and we were all out of town. We will have a reaction to Toy Story 4 next week on the show. Even if it's very quickly, it'll be at the front of it because all three of us will see it this weekend. Moving on to this week's Blend Game, the films of Cillian Murphy. Once we got into this game, I realized that he has far more great films than I anticipated.
But
yes,
he's in a lot of great films. He's in a lot of great films that aren't necessarily great because of him.
Oh, interesting. That's
I think he's good in, he's great in a lot of movies.
Yes.
But when I think of a lot of movies that he's in, I wouldn't say, oh, they're great because of him.
Interesting. That's fair. But he's also good. He's good.
He's always good.
Yeah.
But a lot of the movies that he's in aren't great because of him.
You know who I say that about also? Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell shows up in a lot of great movies.
Yeah.
They're not great necessarily because of him.
That's fair.
Some of them are. But like no one goes to Minority Report because Colin Farrell's in it.
Right. That's fair.
Right?
Right.
So I'll go first and I'll say this. I'm a hypocrite. Because when people started posting on social media and playing along with Cillian Murphy Blend, and a lot of people did, we got a lot of really great social media reaction. Anyone who picked a Nolan film, I was like, don't be lazy. Like, don't just say Dark Knight because it's a great movie and he happens to be in it.
He's not in Dark
for a brief scene.
He's in the beginning, in the very beginning.
Oh, that's right. It's in the opening scene.
They're not hockey pads.
Yeah, so he's in the hockey pad scene.
Yeah.
He's in all.
What makes you different?
He's in all.
I'm not in any hockey pads.
I still don't understand how Nolan made that decision, but continue.
However, my choice is Batman Begins.
Because, that's different.
Because I love, yes, this is why I'm
he's
defending
the primary
it.
Villain.
He's the primary villain.
Yeah.
And his Scarecrow is really good.
Great.
His Scarecrow is really, really good. And what it showed me, this is why I prefer Batman Begins to The Dark Knight.
Do you?
I do. It's a better movie.
That's insane.
First and foremost.
How does this feel to be so wrong?
And this is going to sound crazy.
No, you're going to say the Scarecrow is better than the Joker.
No, I won't, because Ledger's Joker is amazing. But I loved that Nolan took a villain in Batman Begins that no one knew or cared about and made him incredibly cool. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's easy to do the Joker, but it's easier to do the Joker than to make Scarecrow your main villain. Yeah, of course. Of course. And the Joker by himself is just a fascinating character. But if you're like, I'm going to do a Batman movie and it's an origin story and his villain is Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul, that's crazy. Like, that's suicide. Like, you just shouldn't do it. And it was amazing. And part of it was because Cillian Murphy was very convincing as Scarecrow. And so when I looked over his films, which were significant films, great films, if I'm picking favorite, of which he is a significant contributor, I'm going Batman Begins. Batman Begins.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
I can't.
Kevin, you're up.
I had a hard time with this one because of kind of what Jake just said. I feel like every movie that I love him in isn't necessarily great because of him.
He works with Nolan a lot.
He does. I mean, obviously you can go Dunkirk, but I mean, his character wasn't big enough in Dunkirk. I think I might go Danny Boyle's Sunshine.
Oh! Great. That's where I
probably
was.
Probably because.
That's where I was too.
But oddly enough, my reasoning behind it is because I just love that movie. And I also love that piece of music that was written for that film, those Adagio 4, I don't remember what it was called, but it was the same theme that Matthew Vaughn put into Hit Girl's action sequence in Kick Ass. Yeah. She's like the POV.
It's a great score.
Yeah, it's like four notes, and it's unbelievable. But yeah, it's funny because I don't really think, I can't think back to why I love him in that film. I just
then
love
can
that
film. Or you, is it
film.
The right choice?
Yeah, I honestly don't know what my choice is for
that's
this.
That's a really, but I like that.
Yeah,
I, like
I'm gonna,
that
I guess I'll go Sunshine.
This is one of those weeks that I really love where we have three different picks.
Yeah, oh good.
I picked 28 Days Later.
Nice! Oh, yeah, I really did think
and
about
And the reason
that.
I picked 28 Days Later is because he represents the audience in that movie.
Yeah.
Waking up and having no idea what's going on, and then, like us, he has to be taught what's going on, and he has to absorb the information of what's going
on. That's one of my favorite stories.
And it's just, it's the idea, I mean, long before Walking Dead ever did it, a guy who went into a coma and wakes up, and while he was in a coma, the world went to shit.
Right.
What an amazing premise.
Yeah.
And he represents the audience so well. And usually I hate when a character is meant to be us. Yeah. I hate when, you know, I really don't like the Ellen Page character in Inception.
Yeah.
Because she's so clearly meant to be us and that we need things explained.
Yes.
So she's a character, you know. But this is handled far better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if I actually, obviously he's in Inception as well. But I.
And also to be in London like we are right now. How they shot that.
Boggles like
my
mind. We drove by Big Ben earlier today.
Yeah.
Swarmed by people.
Right. Or Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, just him walking around. I think that's my favorite Danny Boyle movie.
Oh.
Interesting. Oh, we haven't done Boyle Blend, have we?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that.
Oh, shit.
That's funny.
Sorry,
it's
Gabe.
Funny that you mentioned that.
Sorry, Gabe. But I just think that he does something that I normally don't like, which is plays a character that represents the audience, but does it in such an amazing way that I forget that that's what he's doing.
Yep.
And he handles it really well. I love that movie. I love his performance in that movie.
28 Days Later is amazing.
If I were to pick his favorite performance, and I talked about this with Sean, and I was not given permission, I would pick Peaky Blinders.
Permission.
Because Peaky Blinders, he is incredible.
He's also a great show. He's great in Inception.
Is that a gangster show?
It's like Boardwalk Empire, but in London.
Okay.
Isn't that Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy's in it.
Yeah.
And
I
so cannot, I mean, I think it's BBC, but they put it on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I so cannot understand anything anyone says that they put on subtitles. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Rachel West playing along on social media using the hashtag Killian Murphy blend picked Intermission. Josh Thomas said Scarecrow in the Nolan Batman trilogy. Saskia, who came to our London meetup.
Yes.
Thank you for coming to see us in the pub, said Sunshine. And Chipper Beale said 28 Days Later. And then Gabe wants me to note that nearly everyone who played along on social media wanted to add Peaky Blinders.
What?
And I would not allow it. That's the rule.
Why did you get to say?
Because I am...
Gabe is the one running this show. Gabe, can I pick Peaky Blinders?
Gabe says, and really, who wouldn't, is what he said. So,
what do you mean I have to pick Hero Blend?
I think he approves. I think he approves.
Question. Yes. Did you guys hear about Killian Murphy's...
Fuck's sake, man.
Did you hear about Killian Murphy's favorite show created by Bryan Cranston?
Wait. Stop. We have to go. We have to end the show.
Killian Murphy's favorite show.
Let's go. Come on.
Created by Bryan Cranston.
Come on. Let's go.
Sneaky Pete Blinders. Sneaky Blinders. Come on. Yeah, remember Sneaky Pete? You know the show?
No.
Cranston created that show. Killian's on Peaky Blinders. So Sneaky Pete Blinders.
For next week, as Jake has hinted out to, we are going to play, Kevin, you didn't hear this, we're going to play hashtag Danny Boyle Blend.
Oh.
So you could reach out to us on Twitter using hashtag Danny Boyle
Blend.
You know
what? Maybe it's not 28 days later. I really don't. Actually, now I'm thinking it 28
weeks
else.
Later.
He's had some amazing
I
films.
Know. I take back my pick.
See, I'm questioning my pick, too.
No, no. I stand by my pick for Killian Murphy.
He said
Murphy.
28 days later.
I was saying that was my favorite Danny Boyle movie.
Oh, I'm questioning my Killian Murphy
Well,
pick.
Your Killian Murphy pick was shit.
I'm questioning.
Sunshine's amazing.
No, it's a great movie, but
Sunshine?
You picked it for the wrong reason.
I did pick it for the wrong reason.
No, it's a great movie.
But you know why? You messed me up. Because you said something that really I'd never thought of before. I love all these movies that he's in, but it's not him that...
Right.
I would even argue that 28 Days Later, I like because of Boyle's direction more than Killian's performance.
Yeah,
like,
but he's great
but
in it.
I know, but like when I look back on 28 Days Later, I think about the way that movie was shot.
Which is why I go back to what are the freaking rules of this game?
Just not Peaky
no
Blinders.
No one knows.
Maybe.
Not Peaky Blinders.
No one knows.
But honestly, since...
Peaky Blinders, it should be my pick.
Since I'm so...
That's like making us do Cranston Blend and not letting us pick Breaking Bad.
By Batman Begins, I defended the film and his performance.
Yes. As I did. With 28 Days Later.
You probably convinced me more than anything on your pick.
Thank you.
Because
I didn't even listen to mine.
I heard your pick. I listened to everything you
said. You're peeing.
I listened to every word you said.
I went to the bathroom.
I did hear everything you said. Jake actually said, I'll tell you that right now, I was in another room. Jake said the reason why he likes
We gotta go. I got somewhere I gotta be.
Is because he is the audience's perspective.
We gotta go.
Did you say that? Did you say that?
Yeah.
Gabe, we're getting there. Relax, Gabe. We're getting there. All right.
You've changed ever since you went over to Hero Blend. Do you rush Hero Blend a lot? You probably let them go... Like for hours.
And it's a 3-hour
like,
podcast.
Let's talk about Superman again.
You're the one with the heart out. And
yeah, I know. Let's go. Come on. I gotta
All
go.
Right, next week, hashtag Danny Boyle Blend. You can play along on social media. Obviously, you can email us your picks at RealBlend.
Did you at least hear about Danny
Boyle? Oh my God, we have to go.
Did you hear about Danny Boyle's favorite Fran Drescher show?
Wait, she only has one. Danny Boyle,
yeah. There we go. The Danny Boyle.
I love getting it. Yeah. In addition, you can send us a review. At realblend@cinemablend.com. We will read it at the top of the show. You can go to the iTunes page. You can leave us a star rating. You can leave us a review. All of that stuff is helping to boost the profile of the show. I can't tell you guys how excited we are to be getting your feedback and letting us know how things are going. We have a couple of potential meetups in play. I'm going to see Gabe's reaction to this. And so we'll start to share information on those as they happen. Gabe, I have an idea for one that I think could be a lot of fun. Listeners can follow us on social media at Jake's Takes, at Kevin McCarthy TV, and at Sean_O'Connell. Yeah. Go over to Jake's to see a photo of where Jacob Batalon should be.
Oh.
But really...
Screw you guys, man. You all would have done it.
We will be back next week with the very beginning of our Spider-Man Far From Home coverage, where we will talk... we're going to review Toy Story 4. We're going to run the non-spoiler conversation with John Watts.
Not Kevin Feige.
We will potentially...
Oh, I forgot to tell John my joke today.
What joke?
John Watts' favorite MCU character.
Okay.
John Pepper Potts. I don't know why. How did
Let's
I
go. We have to go. I have somewhere I have to be.
And until forgot next week from London.
Dunkirk.
Solo name scene.
No, no. Never again. Ever. Ever. Repeat that. Ever.
I'm turning off the mic.
It's one of the worst scenes of all time in the history of movies. It's one of the worst scenes
I turn off the mic.
Ever created in the history of movies.
Turn Dunkirk. Gabe up. How Dunkirk. Do we, how do we turn Gabe up?